Welcome to Android App Addicts, episode number 354, the show where we talk about Android apps. We just might talk about some apps that maybe you guys have never heard of before, and they could change your life. That's not really what we strive for. That was a little deep. We're a little more laid back than that. Let me introduce the co-hosts, and we'll get into it. Starting with the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin from podnuts.com. What's up, Dor?
I'm trying to change my life. Speak for yourself, man.
It has happened.
No. Podcasting in general, A, has changed my life. Meeting you has changed my life. And interacting with guys like the Rhino here in the chat room has definitely changed my life. And all of it has been for the better. So good times, bro.
I agree.
Even though I just called you bro, I'm sorry.
You've been saying it a lot.
Sorry, brah.
Don't want to sound dumb, but you've been saying it a lot.
I've been saying that a lot, and that makes me so mad. I blame Mr. Ardini and his flink.
Eric Flinks. I've been thinking about the next T-shirt campaign, and I would really like it to say, not trying to sound dumb, Android App Addicts. Only on
yeah, that sounds good. I like that.
Yeah. Would you mind if we did that, Dor?
I will not object to any shirt paraphernalia. Or hat or hoodie or anything.
Would you do a two-sided where on the front it's I'm not trying to sound dumb and on the back it's Android App Addicts?
I don't know. Something like that. Something like
or,
that.
Or just above and below.
I'm not sure. Whatever. I have to do some artistic stuff and see what comes out the best. And maybe we put something new on this shirt.
We can have like an Android with like crossed eyes, just kind of weird, just like kind of look at Android on the front. I'm not trying to sound dumb, and then Android App Addicts on the back or something, or like I don't know,
something. Also joining us, Eric Ardini from DiniMedia.com. What's up, Eric?
I'm getting my life changed one half hour at a time, and three times a week by this podcast. I don't know where I'm going with that.
Eric always references the show as the listeners hear it, not how we actually do it, and it always confuses us.
that's where I'm at. I'm just a listener, but I just happen to show up here.
All right. Well, Dor, why don't you start us off this week with an app?
Okay. Okay. My wife.
What's that?
Well, I'm going to start back in the beginning. The beginning is my wife asked me a couple days ago, what I wanted for my birthday. She got mad at me. She got legitimately mad at me because I can't remember what I said first, but it was something stupid like, I don't know, some ice cream cake or something. I don't know. And then I said tickets to the Star Wars movie because I really do have high hopes about it. And then she said, well, when's it coming out? I said Christmas. And she got really mad at me. But she doesn't
understand. When's your birthday?
My birthday is in a couple of days. It's the end of this month.
Oh.
But here's the reason why it was so fresh in my mind. A, I have high hopes for that movie, but I cannot look at that movie without remembering the past. And I found this game on the Google Play called Retro Wars Arcade. And all I got to say is load up the video and just see for yourself. This is the classic arcade game. I want to say essentially, but it is the old arcade game, Star Wars, with the vector graphics going through the space, pew, 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 with the four guns on the side, with the TIE fighters shooting at you. Then it goes to the pillars. You have to go through the pillars, and then it goes through the actual trench. This is awesome.
My God, how do they get away with this?
I don't know, but it's been on the Google Play for at least a little while.
Yeah, it has. That's awesome.
I'm gonna install this on the tablet.
Yeah, it's been out for almost a year.
Now, what I ask in this? Oh, it says inspired by the hit arcade game Star Wars. Wow, they got cojones. Now, is it the exact same code? Like, is this the actual game, or is it somebody's replica?
It can't be, I'll say, the exact same code. Just can't. I mean, I'm sure if the expert sits down to this and knows all the small details of the arcade cabinet, 3 seconds in, he'll say this is not the same game.
Gotcha. Cool.
It looks cool though.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely lost a little bit of time. And then when I gave it to my oldest son, he was like, yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Well, you know, it's kind of boring. It's like, oh, dude, go upstairs. Go to your bed.
That's funny.
Yeah, well, compared to what he's, the other stuff you've given him on that tablet, you know, I could see it.
It's true. He's got goat stimulator to compare this to.
Yeah, he does.
All right. Thank you, Dora. Also, bringing an app today is Eric. What's your app, Eric?
My app is called Delectable Wine Scan and Rate.
Okay.
So I tried wine a couple times. I've never really gotten into it. I can't consider myself a wine snob or nothing. But I did at one point actually physically start writing a log of ones I liked and didn't like in a little, I might even picked up a book that said wine log or something. It was either that or a spiral notebook. One of the two. I was writing them down and I've lost that. So I don't know where it's at. This app is kind of like that where you can take your own notes on how you liked this wine or didn't like this wine. And you can also read other people's reviews of it if they liked it or didn't like it. And it all starts by you taking your camera and scanning the label, and it'll go online, it'll find it. It'll tell you how it's ranked according to the wine snobs who know, and then how much it should cost. And then you can read everybody's reviews. So if you're actually in a wine store or a liquor store, you can, you know, check it out before you buy. To see, you know, maybe if other people don't like it, then you might not either. So I did it. I did try a test scan on this bottle of Chalkboard 2013.
Okay.
My wife's been into buying me unique wines, anything with a weird name like that or weird look to it. I've never drank Chalkboard wine yet, so I'm not sure how it tastes. But
how did it get reviewed?
It got like 8 point something for a review out of 10, so I was impressed. I'm like, she did good in picking this one out.
Yeah, man.
It did come up with a different one. This is a Cabernet Sauvignon, and it picked up a Malbec when I scanned the label, so it didn't get all of the words right. It did get the year right. It says, I don't know, it's kind of weird.
So it was reviewing the wrong wine?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, then she didn't do a good job, right? The one you got might suck.
Well, it might, but it's still, well, the Cabernet Sauvignon gets 8.6.
Oh, that's what you got.
Right.
Oh, it took a picture of the wrong one, but you found the right one.
Yeah, after I took the picture, it had a little edit thing there, and if it comes up with the wrong one, you can edit it, and then it picked it, then all the other ones that Chalkboard makes.
And now here's the real question: if you're drunk, is it easy to edit?
Oh yeah, yeah, it's just a drop down menu.
Okay, good, good, good.
That's pretty awesome.
Well, Eric, I have no idea about wines except for some are dry. Don't know what that means. Some are red. Some are white, some are bubbling, but that's not really wine. What kind have you in the past took a swig, a gulp, and swished around and made stupid noise and said, that's pretty good wine?
What really sticks out to me as being really good wine is sangria.
Sangria, okay.
Basically, it's wine with a bunch of fruit in it.
I'm so happy you didn't say Thunderbird.
I don't know.
Me and Eric were drinking them at Ohio Linux Fest.
Sangrias, yeah.
Yeah, we went sangrias in a bar that played Apple music, Apple commercial music.
No, were they good, Steve? Did you like sangrias? As far as
they were pretty
goes?
Good. Yeah, absolutely. I like fruit.
This one is handcrafted in limited production in small lots, and it's got lush aromas of plum and chocolate with notes of fresh herbs and black cherry. When it has that
shouldn't sound good altogether, but it does sound good.
But did they put chocolate in there? And herbs to get it that way? Or is that just your tongue saying those things may be there? Should just be grapes, right?
Typically with all this kind of stuff, at the very last second kind of thing, they add adjuncts. that's where it's like they add raw fruit and chocolate or coffee or something like that at the very end and just let it steep in with the bottling process kind of thing. I will say chocolate could be very interesting.
There is a chocolate wine. Yeah. I'm a city clerk, and when we get together, they are very big wine drinkers, a lot of the city clerks. And I've heard them talk about chocolate wine before.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I'm going to try this. If not for the usage, I'm not probably going to take the app out at the liquor store. But when my wife brings these home, I will use it. I'm going to use this app for my own personal journal to remember what I did like. And I think Cabernet Sauvignon was one I did, I think.
That's cool, man. Good job, our wine authority. Eric is the resident AA wine authority.
I'm working my way up, man. Dor, you can have the beers, because I'm just going to keep drinking the cheap crap, and I'll take the wines for you guys. And then Steve, you're going to be the scotch, okay?
Oh.
You have to try all the scotches for us.
Have you been talking to Martin Obando?
Sometimes.
Because I told him...
Is he a scotchy scotch?
Well, when I was in Portlandia and getting ready to go to Northwest Lennox Fest, I told him I was like genuinely afraid of scotch. And then 3 seconds later, on the table right in front of me, boom, he put a big bottle of scotch and put a cup and said, well, there you go. You should overcome your fears.
Oh. So how'd that go?
It was not... Man, that stuff is like... Just put a chisel in your mouth and just start banging away kind of thing. You know? That stuff is rough. Chisel.
That is rough.
It is, man. Ooh.
That's funny.
Martin just kept saying, little sips, little sips. Dude, I can't take them that small. It's impossible.
What does it taste like? Butterscotch?
Like a crazy heat in your mouth. If you actually like let it sit on your tongue for a couple seconds, you do taste something that doesn't taste bad at all. But then as soon as you swallow, I like suddenly turn into like, I don't know, like old school rap artist when I start making weird noises.
I know awesome. DealNews.com had a bourbon of the month club the other day, or bourbon sampler pack or something, where they would send you, I don't know, it was like 12 little bottles of different kinds of bourbon.
Ooh.
For a special price. I don't know. I you know, if you put bourbon in front of me and scotch, I probably wouldn't know which was which if I drank them both.
I'll put it like this. I technically have no idea what bourbon is, but I believe it's either aged one of three things. Very, very old and like well-aged. Champagne, wine, or whiskey. It's one of the three.
It's whiskey.
Whiskey, it is?
Yes.
Can't remember. Which that just means, you know, it's the other kind of thing I just can't sip.
Was that the first app of this show? This wine app?
Second.
That's right. You went first. Okay. Good. All right. Well, thank you, Eric, for that.
You're welcome.
Let's do one more app each.
Okay. What I'm going to bring here, there's really not much we can talk about it. It's called Android for Work app. This, I do believe, is literally brand ridiculously spanking new. We have no use for this app. This is the kind of app that is ballistically needed for Android to truly become incorporated in small business or enterprises. What this does is it allows you to put on your phone an application called Android for Work. Okay. That can be managed by a remote administrator, aka the computer guy at work or the domain admin at work, where you can, it has its own separate lock screen just to get into it. And when you get into it, you can have stuff like work mail, work contacts, work calendar, work task, work camera, work downloads, work settings, work documents, work spreadsheets, work browser. Almost any app, it looks like, can be enveloped into this work ecosystem and be basically cordoned off from the rest of your apps, being secured, encrypted behind a pattern lock or a combination kind of lock thing, thus letting you bring your own device to work mentality. You bring your own Android device in, and then a section of it can be cordoned off just for work type activities.
Hmm.
Yeah. BYOD.
That might be useful with my job. So if somebody goes out on a whim and asks for a FOIA request of the things that are on my phone, they really could get it because I use my phone for work.
Right.
Those are public records that go through my phone sometimes. And maybe this would be a good way to make a huge wall between my personal and my business.
Right. It's a good concept. Now, in the reviews, Google Play Store is crashing for everybody, but one guy says it crashes on purpose. Is that true?
No, it's not going to be on purpose. It is brand spanking new. I would be deathly shocked if there's no issues with this, because this is literally creating a encrypted container on your device.
But that's what I'm saying. Maybe that's why Play Store is crashing. It won't be a encrypted container if you're allowed to access Play Store.
Well, either that, or they haven't fine-tuned on how to properly regulate if the end user can even access the Play Store. It's really, I don't want to say beta, because there's no beta tag on it, but it's basically a beta. Literally, I believe this came out today. It might have been yesterday. If I scroll down, wrong.
Well, I heard about it April 15th coming out.
Yeah. Well, it should be getting better, because listen, here's the thing. This bring your own device to work thing is going to only become more prevalent, because workplaces do not want to give people phones for everything. Instead, they'd rather pay a small portion of your home phone tab and just have you use your own personal device. And I don't know if this would be a proper way to document to your job, Eric, and so they wouldn't be able to get your whole phone.
It probably wouldn't hold up in court, but they'd probably take the whole phone, dissect it.
Well, they will. And if you listen to this week's My Hard Drive Died episode that got released, Scott Moulton was talking about forensics, court, and he did talk about some about mobile devices. So more than likely, if there was any question, they would just say, give me your device.
Mm-hmm.
Not give me your Android for work device.
Yeah. Don't swipe your pattern for this part of your phone. We'd like your phone.
Cool. Very interesting app. Good call. All right. And then back over to Eric.
I want to bring up an app that was brought up by an email that I've been using lately, even though for some reason it hasn't. I mean, the app's fine, but my setup that I've been trying to use it with hasn't really worked too well. This app is called Wi-Fi Analyzer. Let me get you the link here. It's by Fartproc.
Excuse me?
Of course it is.
Fartproc. Here you go. When you turn it on, you can see all the Wi-Fi hotspots in the area of your phone and how much signal they have by negative dB ratings.
I just stop you there for one sec?
Mm-hmm.
I know you're right in the middle of talking about this, but looking at the pictures and the graphs and stuff, isn't it amazing how many Wi-Fi networks there are these days, like compared to like 5 or 6 years
mm-hmm.
ago? Like,
yeah,
they're everywhere. Well, for me, it's like my router is never the strongest one in my apartment. My neighbors always beat me, and wow. I'm sitting right next to it. Yeah, it's like crazy amounts. Anyway,
well, yeah, and I've got to throw this in here real quick too, Eric. Sorry. This is to me, this screenshot right here, this second screenshot, is the reason to me, or the first one, why the idea of an Android acting like a desktop or a laptop is needed in this ecosystem. There's no application I've ever seen on Windows or Linux or Mac that I can just load and see this kind of visual information about my Wi-Fi network. What this tells me when I'm upstairs on my game stick, I can have my kid watch this screen. I can come downstairs, maneuver, manipulate my Wi-Fi router, and he can give me instantaneous feedback on how everything's looking. And because of this, I know, well, I shouldn't be on channel 6. Everyone else is on channel 6. Let me go to channel 9. And I literally see better performance because of it. This kind of information is not this easily surfaceable on desktop, normal desktop operating systems. Rant done.
I agree. Okay. Yeah, and it's that second screenshot that got me interested in it too. Yeah.
If you go over to the seventh screenshot, that's the one I've been using. Basically, it looks like a gauge. Mm. It's got green on one side and gray on the other, and you can turn the sound on or off, and it'll beep, so you don't actually have to look at your phone. But it just it tells you when you're closer to the Wi-Fi signal or farther away, or you know how the quality of the signal is. Because I got this Wi-Fi repeater.
Yeah,
Linksys.
Do they work?
Not yet.
I've never gotten one of them to work.
Really? I'm like, why can't I figure this out? I can't get it to work either. So there's this guy who likes to drink on a log out back in the forest, and I keep telling him, I'm tired of cleaning up after you. Just take your cans with you. You know, I'm not gonna yell at him for drinking back there. Whatever. He's not hurting nobody.
Is his name Eric?
No, I don't know what his name is. But I was just going to start, I was going to use a Wi-Fi extender, throw an old iPod Touch back there with a camera on it, and just videotape it, duct tape it with camouflage tape to a tree and a battery pack, and just let it sit there. And then I'll, because he says it's not him. So even though he carries a Keystone 12 pack, and it's always Keystone ISIS that I'm picking up back there.
Bitter beer face.
So yeah, that was my plan, and it's really not panning out too well. There are some apps that you can take an old iPod and turn it into a security camera, but you really need to get the Wi-Fi working, and I don't have that part yet.
Well, the old standby I always heard was you should buy them in tandem. You should buy your router and your repeater at the same time, and you should make sure they're from the same manufacturer.
And, yeah, I didn't do that.
And if you don't do that, I heard it is, I don't want to say hit and miss, but it's not easy to get it to work right. Now, the other option is buy completely different hardware at different times, Flash Tomato, DDWRT, OpenWrt, or Gargoyle on both of them, and then it's going to probably work.
Sounds simple.
Yeah exactly. And the likelihood of random off-the-shelf hardware used to be ridiculous for none of that stuff being able to be loaded on it. Now there are actually vendors shipping with TDWRT on it by default.
Really?
Yeah, Asus, TP-Link, and I think somebody else is doing it. And
wow,
that to me is absolutely fantastic.
I even thought for a moment to try the Powerline Wi-Fi adapter or Powerline network adapter to run it to the Powerline out to my shed and then Wi-Fi off of that to the forest. You know, because my Wi-Fi extender does have Cat5 cable in and out on it.
Is your shed metal or wood?
Wood.
Then it technically, I think, could work. The question is, what's the quality of power line out to your shed?
Yeah, that's probably negligible. I know I've put electrical tape on a couple spots.
How about a microwave dish?
There's no microwaves in the shed. Oh, dish? Microwave dish?
Mm-hmm. Line of sight. One's microwave, you can get up to a gigabit speed. Well, then you have the other option. You always have the other option of a Pringles can, Eric. Taking a omnidirectional and making it a unidirectional device via a Pringles can or a coffee can.
Technically, I could try that.
Technically, it's doable. Yeah. And I'll say it would probably be easier literally to buy a super cheap Android device than an iPod Touch, from my experience, and turn it into an IP can.
Oh, okay. And see, rather than one I've already got.
And the gimmick is just any battery pack should do it. But the gimmick is, my logic is, you got to put it at least like 10 feet up in a tree, because if he's drinking, if he sees it, he'll try to get it. But if it's too high, he ain't going to climb. He ain't got time for that.
Right. Yeah. It's got to be camouflaged enough that he doesn't see it. But if he does see it, yes, I agree. I would take a ladder to mount it.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Well, if he does get it, you'll know it's him anyway. He walked right up to it.
Well, even better. You have it as a camera. And you have it where if you see him live, you can hit a button and the phone will start playing like fake police sounds, completely freak him out.
And then self-destruct.
I was thinking just our soundboard, and I'd have little words I could say to, wait, where's he at?
Cool, man. Well, good apps today, fellas. Very good. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed the show. That's going to be it for Wednesday's show of Android App Addicts. See you on Friday.